A very good morning to you, beloved Eagle FM listeners. Welcome to yet another episode of Social Time with me, Hileni, here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Today is the 10th of the 5th month and the year is 2025. You know, just yesterday it was January and now we are almost halfway through the year. This year is really, really going by very fast and next thing we know, we would have reached a vision 2030. So here at Eagle FM, we offer you a variety of products from live streaming services to live broadcasting services. We also offer you sound services. So if perhaps you have an event going on, you can always hire us for your sound system services, which is just to provide your event with sound so that everyone can hear each other properly. And also when you have your event that is probably also happening in a remote area or in an area where everyone cannot make it, you can always hire our live streaming services and our live broadcasting services, which will enable your product to be broadcasted right at that moment. It will be broadcasted at that time as it is happening, and people will be able to engage you on a live basis, so which would be either by commenting or sending SMSs so that you know the comments get to you, and as your event is happening you can also partake and answer the questions that the public may have. So those are just some of the services that we offer on top of our Eagle FM app. Now, the Eagle FM app is very important to have. You should download the Eagle FM app from, that is the Play Store or the iStore. And the app will enable you to listen to all our programming here at Eagle FM as they are happening. You know, like right now I'm on ANA. If you have the app, you are able to listen to me in real time. And you are also able to listen to previous broadcasts, which is shows that has aired in the past, shows that way, put there just for you to go back and revisit in case you need to revisit one of them, in case you need to learn something from one of them. Because here at Eagle FM, we are very insightful, we are very informative, and we are constantly driving narratives that affect your everyday lives, narratives that can bring change, narratives that about policies and, everything that involves our everyday lives, bread and butter issues, human interest stories, stories that of people, going through things. So that is just one of the benefits of having the Eagle FM app. Alternatively, you can use it to find documents on there. So important documents are always uploaded for your perusal. You can go through them and just study national documents, be proactive in knowing what is happening in and around the country, so that every time people have serious conversations, you are not just waiting for the Sabawell Wings gang to team up later. Be that person, goes an extra mile to use the services given to you on a silver platter to just inform yourself as well. Alternatively, more as most no Sunday, you can download the Imba app, which is a digital hymn book. It enables you to have all your hymn books in the palm of your hand. So some of you are always leaving your hymn books at home, and then your neck is going to break in church because now you cannot keep your eyes out of other people's hymn books. So now is the time. Today is a chance for you to download the Imba app. Download the Imba app and you will automatically be logged into the, Elsin hymn book. You'll be able to access the Oma Imburiro. You'll be able to access Sing for Yere and many other hymn books on the app, so that, you can have a beautiful Sunday and you can also partake in the singing at church. Lastly, you can follow us on all our social media platforms, which is Instagram, X, Facebook, LinkedIn, and alternatively on our WhatsApp channel. Many of you already have the number, but in case someone does not have the number is 081-200-4144. 081-200-4144. That is the number you can WhatsApp and, you know, be able to keep up with our WhatsApp channel. And, Inglak, that was not last. Last now for real. So we have our eVillage newspaper, which is released every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. And to subscribe to the paper, you can send your name to 081-200-4144, and we will be able to add you to our billing list so that when Monday the paper comes out, you are getting access to the paper free of charge. It's not something you pay for, and we at Eagle FM do not charge for the eVillage paper. So if perhaps, you know, you just send out a message with your name and someone asks for money, be suspicious, eh? Be suspicious and make sure, double check that the number is actually the correct number and that you're not being scammed some way by people that should not be scamming you at all. So those are just some of the few products we have here at Eagle FM. Alternatively, you can always contribute news items on the aforementioned number just so that we can make each other's lives easier. Maybe something is happening where you are, but we can must not be everywhere at the same time. But we are not there. So you can always just send us this particular information and we will get back to you, or we will do a follow up on those stories. But like you all know, Social Time is a platform where we come and we drive narratives that affect our everyday lives, narratives that you and, you know, your family members, you and your community go through on a daily basis, narratives that some people are afraid to bring up. We come here and we have conversations that hinder the progress of the nation, or that, you know, drive the progress of the nation, but we look at issues that affect your everyday lives and we try to see how best this particular issues can be solved and how best you know, certain things can be dealt with and what information we can share that was not readily available. So with that said, do stay tuned for me. And as per usual, Social Time is not Social Time unless you have been baptized by Billie Eilish, and that is with her Ocean Eyes. I will see you right after this musical break and we will dive into the conversation of the day.
Sometime can't stop staring at those ocean eyes, burning cities and napalm skies, 15 flares inside those ocean eyes, your ocean. Thank you.
Need lightning fast internet? Rogers has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Rogers' cutting edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Rogers today. Visit us online at Baratas.Africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Now, welcome back from that musical break. And like I said before, we are going to dive right into our conversation after, you know, we have listened to our theme song here on Social Time. So if you're just joining us right now, you are right on time for the conversation. We are just getting to introduce our conversation for today on Social Time on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. So like I said before, today we are going to dive into one of those conversations that, you know, people are not willing to have on the streets. Fana, you know, people on the streets, they are not willing to have these conversations because it makes them feel some type of way. And I said already, this is exactly what we do on Social Times. We come and we have these difficult conversations. We come and we have these conversations that you guys are indulging in and you are not really looking at the consequences. You are not looking at the bigger picture and so forth. And in today's discussion on Social Time, we are going to look at the effects of smoking among the Namibian youth or among Namibians in general, and just look at how or why it's such a common trend and what health measures it comes with and what can be done to reduce this thing, this smoking tendency. And so smoking among Namibian youth, including the use of cigarettes, hookah, which you guys now call shisha, vaping, and you know, cannabis, which is weed, is a growing public health concern, and many other illicit drugs. The rise in youth smoking is driven by peer pressure, social media influence, and the misconception that non-cigarette alternatives like vapes and shisha are safer, which is, in a nutshell, not true. Those are just people making themselves feel good about certain horrible activities that they are indulging in so that they can continue to have a reason to indulge in those activities, or so that they can continue to look cooler than the next person, to look better than the next person, to fit into particular social circles. And in the long run, all these actions have their own consequences. All these circles, you know, have ripple effects in life. So this habit of smoking poses a serious health risk, which includes respiratory problems, heart problems, impaired brain development, and increased risk of addiction. It also affects academic performance and leads to behavioral problems such as truancy and substance abuse. So in many cases, you would have noticed that when you start to smoke or when you start to consume something that is of this nature, you start to continuously want to consume that particular substance. I have seen it for people that smoke. You constantly want to be on a plug. You constantly want to have a cigarette. Some even finish boxes of cigarettes in a day. Some are, you know, going to extra means to make sure that they have something to smoke at the end of the day. So it changes your behavioral patterns. It changes how your outlook on life. It changes your physical appearance. It changes the way you reason. Now you just start to reason like someone that is not aware of what they are doing. So there are a lot of consequences when it comes to smoking. There are a lot of other things. And the problem with smoking, especially hubbly, is that many a times you guys find yourself smoking hubbly, but you do not know the contents of the hubbly. And it has happened so many times whereby you would find yourself a chilling session. You would find yourself at a club, at a bar, around people who you found smoking. And you do not know the contents of that hubbly pipe, and sometimes there are other illicit drugs that have been infused there, and now you just come and jays must not have one very hubbly, and you just come and you start smoking, and things happen to you, things that are not nice. Some of those things lead to you being taken advantage of. Some of those things lead to you overspending. Some of those things can lead to a lot of things happening negatively to you. And it all just started because you wanted to smoke so badly. You needed to smoke so badly. And all of these smoking tendencies, they have ripple effects. You know, they have ripple effects. It's not just about you buying cigarettes and smoking. It's not just about you getting your 5 baggies of weed and smoking them. It's not just about, it's just hubbly. It has multiple effects. It has health effects. It has financial effects. It has economic effects. Because when you are addicted to something, and you hear father here me hanade hubbly is must no buy a deer. I don't understand why hubbly is so expensive, but for a head alone sounds wrong. Yeah, marfa hubbly cop. You pay close to 100 or more, or even 200, just to have that hubbly. So in the long run, you are constantly spending a lot of money on this. Vaping is also super expensive. In the long run, you need to keep up with the lifestyle of continuously buying yourself hubbly. You know, you need to keep up with the lifestyle of making sure you are always having a dose for whatever it is you are smoking, be it cigarette, be it chuff, be it vape, be it weed, be it other illicit drugs. You always need to be on the hook of something, and that is why in many cases we come up with these conversations, because we see what is happening in society. And here at Eagle FM, we are, you know, we are determined to drive this particular type of narratives that just ruins people's lives, that just make, that either ruin or make people's lives. It's not always the negative. But here we just look at ways to improve the world we are living in. You guys are the future mothers. You are the future fathers. You know, you are raising the future generations, and these particular children that you are raising are the same children that are in conversation right now. They're the ones that are continuously smoking. They're the ones that are continuously doing drugs. They're the ones that are, you know, just participating in all those things. So at the end of this conversation, you need to be able to sit with yourself and ask yourself, what are you doing in your community to make sure that the young children in your community do not end up in situations because they want to fit in? What are you doing in your household to be exemplary to the younger children, to make sure that they actually follow the right path in their lives, to make sure that they don't end up smoking, they don't end up overdoing these things that people do for fun? And in the end, there are a lot of other consequences, like we already mentioned, the health issues that come with it. Excuse me. The socio-economic impact is very, very significant, with many young people spending money on tobacco and related products instead of essentials or education, thereby perpetuating cycles of poverty. Smoking can also contribute to the normalization of drug use within communities, increasing the risk of criminal activities and long-term health system burdens. And I know... You guys live in neighborhoods where there's a lot of crime. You guys live in neighborhoods where people are continuously high on something. You live in neighborhoods where people need to feed their, what is it, their cravings, you see? And most of these cravings need to be fed one way or another. So if you are a druggie and you run out of money, then you need to make a way. You know, the commitment those people have is something that a whole Namibia can use to just make sure it turns out okay. So the commitment for you to just smoke, for you to get your hook, is so high that people resort to crime. You are stealing phones. You are grabbing bags. You are stealing from your parents at home because you need to buy your cigarettes. You need to buy your bag of weed. You need to buy your vape. You need to buy whatever that it, whatever substance it is that gets you high. First time, Jay. So every time you need to buy this and you do not have the financial resources or the financial capacity to do it yourself, you find other means to get it done. You, the young girls, you know, you indulge in sexual activities that you should not be indulging in just because you need those extra few bucks that you can use to purchase, this particular fix of yours. So in the end of the day, you go to extreme means that could ruin your life, means that are very distracting to you, means that could ruin your family relations. Because if you're constantly stealing from your parents at home, your parents will not like it. Hell, Saldati likes it. And at the end of the day, you're going to have a fallout with your parents. You're going to fight with your siblings because you're doing something that you should not be doing, but you're also doing this something as a result of drug usage. You're doing this something as a result of needing to constantly, you know, give yourself that high feeling, needing to constantly feel like you are on cloud nine. And, you know, these are conversations that are not being had at homes. These are conversations that community members are not having. You know, you walk out of your house and you see children, small children, clinkies, sitting at the corner of those power boxes that they like to sit on. And they are smoking, and you as an adult, you are not reprimanding them. You are not cautioning their parents to say, "Yo kan is besig met twak. Yo kan is besig met nonsense." Just to give that insight so that they as parents can also be able to talk to their children and just find ways to make sure that their children does not go that way. So in many cases, these things are caused by peer pressure. You know, you want to be cool like your friends. You want to be cool like your siblings. You want to fit into a certain social circle. And that is why you find yourself into this. And as parents, you need to be very cautious. You need to be very, very involved in your children's life. Even the adult children, on a daily basis, You are snapping those things. And your children have access to your WhatsApp status. Your children have access to your social media platforms. And your children are seeing how you are living. Your nieces, your nephews at home. They are seeing how you are continuously and consistently abusing these items in every day as Nejevat Rock, Walk Baby Hayes. Now, because now you have a hubbly pipe that lives in your room. So, that lives in your room. So now there is really no need, for the children to look at this, to get these examples from elsewhere, because the example is already at home. So as adults, you need to do better in making sure that the future generations are not caught up in that. In the long run, you all know the consequences. You all know, what happens. You all know there's some of the results from smoking, lung diseases, constant health issues, and this is the one thing I need you guys to remember always. Namibia has a struggling health system, you know, and continuously and consistently, Dr. Tabedi Hospital, you are insulting the nurses, you are angry, you are grumpy, you are so mad that you are not receiving services as fast as you would love to receive them. But this is also a result of an overload on the health system. And this overload is caused by some of you guys. This overload is caused by some of you guys continuously doing these things when you know the consequences, and when you know you are going to end up with health issues that requires you to go to the hospital. And it's not just you alone that is doing it. There's a bunch of other people that is joining you in this. And when you get to the hospital, all 50 of you together, and there is just one doctor, for instance, to attend to all of you, it becomes frustrating to wait for that long. So as a nation, you ought to do better. As a nation, you ought to think about, you know, just the consequences. You ought to think about your situation at home. You ought to think about the situation for the entire country, to say, how does you doing certain things contribute to the economy of the country? What health consequences are there? How does it contribute mentally, physically, emotionally? What are some of the things that these things can lead up to doing? Just so that you are in the clear, and so that you are aware of where you stand, just so that we can build a better Namibia. Because the consequences of smoking are not just limited to health. They are also limited to employment. They are limited to a lot of other places. You know, your employment, the way you behave in public, your aggression, the way you talk to people. You know, you could become very violent when you are either not on these drugs, because now you are constantly agitated since you cannot find your fix, or you go to extreme means to make sure that you have this. And it contributes to crime. It contributes to gender-based violence. It contributes to unemployment. Because some of you had jobs. No lie. Some of you had jobs. But because of this behavior, you lost your job. Because you are constantly too busy smoking, too busy doing drugs, too busy being absent from work because of such reasons. So now people at work cannot keep you. They are keeping you on what basis? When you are not doing what you are supposed to be doing. So they replace you. And now you are on the streets just struggling. And struggling should not be the one thing you as a Namibian like to do. Some of these things you do not necessarily have to indulge in. There is, you know, there is no benefit. All it does is drain your money. End of the night later, you have smoked 10 hublies. That is almost, you know, $2,000. And then you go home. You have not taken care of your child. You have not paid your school fee. You have not taken care of your family. You have not paid your rent. And there are so many other things that you just don't do, or you neglect just to feed this current need. So let's quickly go for a musical break, and from that musical break we are going to come back with you know, a doctor that will just enlighten us and tell us about the effects of drugs on young people, about the effects of drugs on mental health, about the effects of drugs on our society, and how, you know, that affects everyday lives, and that's how that affects your health. So do stay tuned for me, and we will be right back.
Maître John. Mwanango
Yambawa
Alanga Zembo
Lopola Zembo
Ofingi Botongi Emingi
Ope Misaye
Moto Mokoto Yanza Makela
Asapafe
Namamboko Yadjurupel
Papa Bonde Azali Oya
Wasa.
Allô, papa, bonheur au téléphone, comme moi.
like no one else could do. I used to be the one that heard from the Lord, but I'm gone, oh Lord, now I'm gone. I used to pray like thunder in the sky. I used to worship like no one else could do. I used to be the one that heard from the Lord, but I'm gone, oh Lord, now I'm gone. Take me back to the place I used to be. Take me back to make me holy as you are. Wash my heart from sin, the sin that easily weighs me down. Take me back, dear Lord, take me back. Are you paragon of saints? I used to speak as only one that was with God. I never moved without a word from my Baba, but I'm gone, oh Lord, I am gone. Wherever I stand, the mark my shoes left was Jesus. Oh, how I could preach without shame, without regret. I knew the word like I'm the one with whom God wrote, but I'm gone, oh no, I am gone. Take me back to the place I used to be. Take me back to make me holy as you are. Wash my heart from sin, the sin that easily weighs me down. Take me back, dear Lord, take me back. What if I had to leave this earth below today? Will I face Him, my Maker and my God? What will I say? Oh, what will I do when I'm gone? Oh God, when I'm take me back to the place I used to be. Take me back to make me holy as you are. Wash my heart from sin, the sin that easily weighs me.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, Between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Go big this Easter with extra low prices at WB. Get a 1 kg Yum Yum Peanut Spread Tub for $59.99. 1.5 kg Real Good Mixed Chicken for $74.99 with Smart Buy. 1.8 liter Farmhouse Ice Cream for a sweet $39.99. 1 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $33.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 Sheet 1 Ply Toilet Rolls for $34.99. See all our exciting Easter specials at Furmanbrock.com. We care.
You just got added to the GoTV Best Football Friends chat group. Let's go!
Final.
It's finals time and all the biggest players are in it to win it. Catch every Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, Champions League, FA Cup, Europa League, Conference League. To cut the long voice note short, you know we'll be there for you when you need to watch the finals. Stay connected to catch all the biggest football finals with your best football friend, GoTV. Love it.
Okay, like we have said it before, we are going to consult a doctor who will come back and give us more information on the conversation we are having on the topic at hand, which is, you know, the smoking you guys are so much enjoying in this society. So, Dr. Twilika, welcome to Social Time with me, and also welcome to Eagle FM. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Good morning. How are you and how's everyone this morning?
I bet everyone is fine and listening to us.
Hopefully.
In a nutshell, tell us, who is Dr. Twilika?
All right, so it's Twilika.
Twilika.
Yes. I'm a medical doctor currently. I just graduated from the University of Namibia School of Medicine.
Yes.
I'm 24 years old and I hail from the port city of Warwish Bay, where I completed my high school and later on went to pursue tertiary education in Windhoek. So other than that, I also love pageantry. I love modeling. I'm also participating currently in Miss Namibia as a semi-finalist.
Congratulations on that, and we are wishing you all
thank
the
you.
Best.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So one of the very things that we see at the forefront of hangouts and chilling sessions and the definition of having fun in the country is that of, you know, smoking. And smoking comes in different ranges. It goes from smoking shisha, smoking cigarettes, smoking other illicit drugs. What is your take on that practice that our young people are practicing right now?
It's unfortunate that things like these are now normalized in our society, especially in Namibia, where we already have a very small population. And this small population alone is supposed to carry our economy and foster growth in the country. Now, looking at the fact that most of our young people and even older people are actually indulging in activities that don't encourage growth and development, it's quite disheartening, especially from a medical point of view, where we see a lot of our patients in the hospital come in intoxicated, either from substance abuse or any other form of illicit drug. And this, of course, paints a very negative picture, because at the end of the day, it shows us just how serious our young people are in terms of actually accelerating our country's economy.
Awesome. So you spoke about the experiences you have with, especially when they come into the hospitals and you have to experience that on a daily basis. So what are some of the short and long-term health effects of smoking, especially vaping and shisha on the youth, as well as, you know, illicit drugs? But with illicit drugs, it's not as publicly done like the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely there are effects, although a lot of people believe, it's actually a myth, mm-hmm. to believe that vaping has no sort of physical, psychological, or mental effect on your body. Mm-hmm. Anything that enters the body does have an effect on the body, whether good or bad. Even a Panado, as you take it, can have both good or bad effects. So imagine consuming something over a long time. Of course, it's prone to cause some form of response from your body. So in terms of now just smoking, we have tobacco, of course, that is contains nicotine, that is the most commonly smoked thing publicly. Yes. But we also have now the vaping and, you know, your hubbly pipes, it chills and so on, which of course have effects as well. In the short term, we can see that these substances can cause your heart rate to increase, can also cause you to have some breathing problems and reduce your physical fitness. But the most detrimental thing is that it causes dependence on these things. So you have a craving for them, mm-hmm. such that you forget to fulfill even your own responsibilities and rather choose to depend on these substances. In the long term, of course, we see that there are chronic lung problems that can develop. The bad thing about smoking is that it's not limited to only one area of the body. It can cause damage to your lungs, to your heart. It can also cause, of course, your cells to proliferate in a very abnormal way, resulting in the risk of different types of cancers. And it can also impair your brain function and development. And surprisingly, it also affects your fertility, especially for men. So these are things that are not spoken about, because even on the packaging, we see that, yes, on cigarettes, we see that it's clearly displayed that you're smoking at your own risk. And oftentimes we see a picture of a very destroyed lung. But still, this does not hinder people, because again, it's that addiction and dependency that later develops and the craving that later develops that it even impairs your judgment. So truly the psychological impact of substance abuse mm-hmm. is much greater than even the physical, because then the psychological actually continues to empower the physical effects. And at the end of the day, one just becomes so dependent on these things without even realizing.
Which is actually a very sad thing, because at a later stage, I'll touch on a case of, you mm-hmm. know, we all heard about what recently happened in Usakos, but let's first go on and then we can touch on that case and you can just, you know, give us your conclusion based on that, what happened mm-hmm. that side. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, how does early exposure to smoking affect the development of adolescents? Because nowadays, anyone, literally even primary school kids as young as grade 5, they are already indulging in smoking, they are already indulging in shisha smoking, vaping, and you know, there's something new now that I just came to learn, which is chuf.
Oh my goodness.
So there's something else now that is not vape, it's a smaller, it comes in like a smaller portion, it's apparently chuf. So every day people are coming up with, you know, different ideas to make sure people are addicted to something. So how does this early exposure now continue to just affect the development mm-hmm. of adolescents and the future generations?
I mean, you mentioning a grade 5, like a grade 5 adolescent child, that's a very, very young child, and is a child who is at the prime of development, meaning that their brain is still developing. Now imagine you are interfering with normal brain function and normal brain development. This, of course, will create vulnerability for that child to eventually develop some form of mental health disorder or impulsive behavior, which we normally actually see even at our mental health unit, that most of the patients who come, especially young patients who come either with, you know, diagnosed with some form of bipolar disorder or some form of psychotic disorder, are normally have a history of substance abuse. And it's very unfortunate that most of the time this can either be nicotine mm-hmm. or even carbon monoxide toxins that are actually found in vaping, which people don't know that are in there. So this alters your brain development. And imagine sitting in a classroom and you're failing to pay attention, you're failing to remember information and consolidate information, and you're also failing to regulate your emotions. So we see the emotional outbursts, we see the impulsive behavior that will naturally result from using these kinds of substances at a very young age. So highly, highly discouraged mm-hmm. that, you know, adolescents indulge in these things, or any person in general, but specifically our adolescents, because we want to preserve them. We want to ensure that they have a future and a hope, and that they are the ones who will one day carry our economy. So now imagine if these detrimental substances are normalized in our society, especially by older, younger people
yes.
who these younger adolescents look up to and obviously would want to follow in their footsteps, be it a cousin or brother or sister who sits at home and does these things. I mean, we see now that people go around with tiny vapes.
Mm-hmm.
So children see these things and they're like, okay, this is a normal thing in my society, so no one should shun me for doing it. But at the end of the day, they don't realize how detrimental this is to their futures.
Okay, perfect. So I want to know, as a result of smoking, what are some of the health problems that could come about, and you know, just some of the signs that people can look at, because on a daily basis they have these conversations that it's harmless, it's not what, but then in the long run they would obviously have effects. In the long run, there are things you need to look out for to say, when do you start to realize that your health is actually deteriorating, that your mental well-being is actually now too dependent on that? What are just some of those effects that come from smoking?
So I touched on them before, but I'll just reiterate.
Yes.
The thing with smoking and generally substance abuse is that it affects every part of you. So like I mentioned, physically, mentally, you know, psychologically, spiritually even, it really dysregulates your entire body.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the physical effects, which are the most visible at times, we know that smoking enters into your, the smoke itself, the substances contained, enter into your respiratory system, thereby mostly targeting your lungs. So your lungs are at risk of later on developing lung pathology, lung disease.
Mm-hmm.
And this is seen even on the smoking packages, it's displayed right there for you to see. At the end of the day, you can also develop heart disease. You're at risk of developing a stroke, which in most cases is quite irreversible. You can develop different types of cancers, as I mentioned, particularly of the lung, the throat, the mouth, because all these things are toxins. They are foreign to the body, and therefore they cause your cells to multiply abnormally. And then, of course, the smell in general of the smoke, it's just unfavorable, and it results in poor oral hygiene, which can later, of course, create room for more bacteria to come into your mouth and cause other infections. It affects your fertility. It also weakens your immune system. So the way you fight off infections is also dampened. So at the end of the day, you are at risk of developing other infections that you could have avoided if you had not been smoking. On vaping specifically, there's actually, research has actually proven that vaping does indeed cause lung injury.
Mm-hmm.
It's called e-cigarette or vaping use associated lung injury, short for EVALI,
mm-hmm.
which actually does in the long term affect your lungs in a very negative way. You know that your lungs are supposed to expand as you breathe in and out, but at the end of the day, they just contract. They no longer function normally. So at the end of the day, you are unable to breathe as a normal human being. You feel constricted. You feel as though no air is entering into your lungs. You literally feel like you're being suffocated, and no one wants to live a life like that.
Yes.
So definitely, I don't even want to forget the psychological effects, because those are the most detrimental ones in my take, because these ones don't take as long as the physical ones. You really, mental illness is a problem in our society, and especially if you already have risk factors, say for instance somebody in your family already suffers from a mental illness, and then you take some form of substance that predisposes you from developing a mental illness, you'll definitely get one because of the substance use. And at the end of the day, you'll be in and out of the mental health unit on medication or psychotherapy, and it will be very difficult for you to lead a normal life if you have to be dependent on either the medication, the psychotherapy,
mm-hmm.
or on the substance you're abusing.
Okay. I think when I said some of the results, you mm-hmm. mentioned about the medical terms, which mostly just get diagnosed when someone eventually come to the clinic or to the hospital. I just want to know if there are any like physical, like you see some people's eyes get yellow or something, you know, those things mm-hmm. that you physically yourself, you start to see that I might not be doing well as a result of what I'm actually doing.
Yeah. No, generally with smoking, you will not see it for yourself as a person, or looking at somebody, you won't necessarily think that this person smokes. Mm-hmm. But the thing with substance abuse is that it changes your lifestyle. So the first thing that we normally notice is that people become less well put together, let's say.
Yes.
So in terms of their hygiene, in terms of the way they manage their time, in terms of the things that they do, like I mentioned in the beginning, there is some form of neglect of responsibility. So they don't show up to work. Mm-hmm. They don't show up to, any other response. They don't take care of their household. So these are the things that they tend to neglect in order for them to go out and basically give into their craving, which is smoking. But of course, the other things that we can see, especially with nicotine and so on, mm-hmm. we'll see that the person is just very hyper, especially when they're in a state of intoxication of any substance. They're very hyper alert, hyper vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
They seem very anxious. So these are some of the symptoms that you can see. But obviously the physical signs, like the staining on the fingers, those are things you can see. The lips later on get stained as well due to the cigarette smoking and so on. So generally these are the only issues, or a chronic cough that develops that never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the things that you can see. But at the end of the day, they can be very non-specific. Someone might be suffering from something else that can mirror these symptoms. So like a mental illness, for example, without any substance use, can sometimes just present in a way where somebody is not fulfilling their personal duties or responsibilities.
I was just interested in that one mm-hmm. aspect, because, you know, we live mm-hmm. amongst people who are smoking on a daily basis. So sometimes it's just to say, to be able to look out for them and say, maybe it's high time you see someone about this situation. Because when you just tell them to stop or go to stop, they look at you like...
It's very hard to tell somebody to stop who's addicted, hey?
Yes.
I think the best thing you can do is ask them why they're doing what they're doing. Basically assessing for behavior change. Mm-hmm. Ask them why they're doing what they're doing and, have they considered stopping? Most of them will say no, especially if it's in the early phases. They'll probably say yes, they've considered it, but they have failed multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that we... Also, as a medical worker, practitioner myself, we're taught to be very empathetic and understanding of our patients and assess how much they want to actually change a behavior. So if a patient, for example, is very high up wanting to change a behavior, it's very easy for them to change at the end of the day. But somebody who says, no, they don't think about quitting, no, they've never considered stopping, that patient will need more help. So I think in a sense, that's how we assess the degree of addiction and the degree of dependency.
So I wanted to know, is there a link between smoking, like traditional smoking, and risky behavior such as alcohol and drug abuse? Do these items go hand in hand, or does one trigger mm-hmm. and have ripple effects with the others?
Yes, definitely. I think I did mention that a lot of people who use substances, including smoking, mm-hmm. traditional smoking as you called it, they tend to become very delinquent, as in they involve themselves in risky behavior, that being either sexually risky behavior or alcohol or drug use and so on. This is because specifically with smoking, nicotine has the potential or power to basically change the brain function. So it makes the brain want rewards over and over and over. So this is the cycle of addiction. So once that nicotine wears off, the person would want something more that feels rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
So another substance that can feel like it's meeting a need. So oftentimes people who do smoke are seen to be involving themselves in other risky behaviors. I mentioned, be it alcohol, drug use, sexual risky behavior, or delinquency, that being crime, any other thing that is socially seen as unacceptable. or gambling, for example.
So recently we had the case of the of the boy from Isokos, that, you know, the situation that happened to that side. So from a medical point of view, because after that he's now in custody, and he also got confirmed while he's there. I think when he came back to his right mind, he was constantly asking for his family members, and he does, or either he does not know what actually happened, or he is pretending not to know what happened. So I cannot really make that conclusion, because I'm not a medical practitioner, but what do you make of that case? And,
like you said, you can't make a conclusion of it, and neither can I, because one has to actually sit down with a person and understand what was actually happening. So at the end of the day, it's, The problem with the long-term problem with substance abuse is that it really does alter your behavior. And in as much as you might be a very good person, using a substance can cause impulsivity and aggression that you never thought you had, or even cause you to basically participate in some form of criminal behavior. So of course, this case is a reflection of how unresolved emotional issues or substance abuse and even lack of support can escalate into violent behavior. And it's not up to us as a society to really point fingers, but up to the professionals to kind of dissect and understand how the case manifested and how it can be resolved at the end of the day. Because we don't give up on our people just because of a certain act, but we try to assist them and see how we can rehabilitate them at the end of the day.
Okay, so this part is from personal experience, Nem. I was once out and I got drugged. And,
sorry about that.
It's okay. And, you know, I think, you know, when you are drugged or something in that sense, you black out and you do not remember what happened within those few hours of your life. You have no recollection whatsoever on what happened or what you could have done and things like that. So I just want to know, when it comes to such cases in society, what are they called? How do you look out for them to say someone has used drugs that are now taking over their normal behavior? Like you said, it alters your behavior. It alters how you usually are. It brings aggression. And sometimes you do not know that the person is using drugs. You can see that there are slight changes, but you also don't know if the version you are speaking to is the one of themselves, or you are speaking to someone completely new.
First of all, I'm really sorry that that happened. It's not a new thing. Namibia has a lot of cases about people being drugged, especially in clubs or outdoors. So it's important that we sensitize our young people to not take drinks from strangers, to not even take food from strangers, especially in settings like that where they can be at risk of being drugged. Because at the end of the day, people want to take advantage of you. And certain drugs...
Twilika, let me quickly just add something. And it shouldn't just be from strangers. In fact, do not leave your drinks unattended with anyone.
Exactly.
It could be anyone at all.
Even your own relatives or friends, do not do that. Especially in a setting where people can take advantage of you. So at the end of the day, certain drugs have different effects on you. Some, like you said, can cause you to black out and not remember a single thing. Others can just cause you to act in a very outrageous way. So different drugs cause different effects on the body. And it's important that we try and stay vigilant when we're out and take care of our substances and not our substances, but whatever we're consuming and whatever we're taking into our bodies. So, yeah, definitely it does change, does alter how you behave and so on. And sometimes you might even agree to do things you would have not agreed to do if you were in your right mind. I remember we also had a case in my time in university of a girl who did get drugged and was later sexually assaulted, which was very unfortunate for her. The case proceeded for many months. I'm not sure how it resolved out to be, because the people who were accused for sexually assaulting had denied it, but there was medical evidence of sexual assault, and there was also medical evidence of her being intoxicated. So from a medical point of view, we try and find the evidence, and then the authority does the rest to see whether or not the case was as such nature as what the medical evidence is pointing it out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually just one of the sad things that are happening in our country and one of the unsafest. But I wanted to know, what influence does smoking, whether drugs or shisha or cigarettes, have on the academic performance of individuals?
Yeah, so I think I also mentioned it that smoking in general does alter your brain function. So especially for our young children who are now indulging in these things, it will of course lead to poor academic performance.
Mm-hmm.
This is because you are unable to concentrate and, you know, you're unable to remember information. As a student or a learner, you are supposed to retain information. When you are taught something, you're supposed to remember, like repeat it to yourself multiple times until you remember it or just understand it in the moment. Now imagine if something is interfering with that, of course your performance is going to be very low. And also,
titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
So if you're addicted to it and you have dependency on it, the chances of you showing up to school are very limited because now you'll be out there trying to meet your cravings because now you're dependent on this thing. And the moment you enter into withdrawal, mm-hmm. which is another state that will obviously confuse you and throw you off, you have to go out and look for whatever to fulfill this need and to get out of the state of withdrawal. So this is not only interfering with your learning, it's also interfering with your progress in school, and at the end of the day, your academic performance will not be at the standard that it's supposed to be if you were not engaging in these substances. But lastly, nicotine is also associated with a lot of anxiety, depression, and just mood swings in general. So you can't function normally as a learner if you're constantly anxious, constantly feeling depressed, constantly feeling dysregulated wherever you are, whatever you're doing.
Side question, maybe irrelevant, maybe not, but a lot of people smoke because some people, especially with cigarettes, normal cigarettes, people claim to smoke because they are stressed or something. And you constantly mentioned that, it also brings you anxiety and it makes you anxious. So I just want to know anxiety is not a nice feeling. So I want to know, how does anxiety and stress, how do they find a balance from each other? You know, you are stressed and then you smoke, which brings you anxiety. It doesn't actually make a lot of logical sense to me when I sit and think about it.
Okay, so let me explain. So initially, when you smoke the traditional smoking nicotine, tobacco, it stimulates your nervous system, right?
Yes.
It causes, like, there's this surge of happiness, surge of, like, peace, surge of calmness. Like, you feel like you're on a cloud. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're floating. It feels really nice.
Yes.
But this doesn't last. The moment this wears off, especially within an hour or so of smoking, and around 24 hours, you start to feel the withdrawal symptoms, where now you start to feel extremely unhappy, extremely anxious, your concentration is poor, you have increase in appetite, irritability and restlessness. So imagine now if last night or today I smoke, for example, at this time, and then tomorrow I have to go to school at this time, and I have not smoked since now until tomorrow. That's 24 hours probably that have passed.
Yes.
Me sitting in a classroom will immediately be in withdrawal. So the anxiety comes in at that time. The poor concentration comes in at that time. So it's really a stepwise process as to how the body responds. And at the end of the day, you can't be in that state of euphoria for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
It just calms you at that time. And that's why it creates a cycle of dependency, because now you constantly want to feel nice, quote unquote. If you don't feel that nice feeling of being on cloud nine, mm-hmm. then you continuously want to take the substance to maintain that state of being, but you can't maintain it for a very long time.
Okay, now I get it, because I just needed to understand the correlation between stress, suddenly feeling nice, and eventually going through the yes.
Yeah.
Are there any support treatment options available in Namibia for people who want to stop smoking?
Yes, definitely. So we can start on a school level. So generally at schools, they have not psychologists, but your life skills teachers, your counselors in most schools where people can go and seek help.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, the Ministry of Health does offer help. So first of all, we have our mental health unit where we see a lot of our patients who have addiction issues. They get counseling, they're going to occupational therapy, they're going to rehabilitation, just depending on what their need is and how they present. So most of the time, we only see our patients when they're either intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
So they first present at the hospital intoxicated with a substance, and they are basically treated medically first of all. And then they now go on to receive psychiatric help. Apart from that, apart from detoxing them, we can also send them into rehabilitation programs where they enter into a group therapy, you know, where they can be three or more individuals who sit together and just discuss their problems. Because at the end of the day, something happens to the brain when you sit in a group with people who share similar problems,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we also have something called cognitive behavioral therapy, where we basically try and talk you out of a certain behavior that you continuously do and try to replace it with other behavior,
mm-hmm.
you know, because sometimes, especially younger children, they think, if I don't smoke, I won't be popular, or if I don't smoke, I won't have friends. So we try and change that thought process and correct it into another thought process that should replace that one. We also have now other forms of help. So for example, someone who's addicted to nicotine, they can either get a nicotine patch,
mm-hmm.
or the gum, or, you know, all these other methods that can help. But at the end of the day, it's really about the mind, and we try to change, to rewire the thought process so that individuals don't think that they can't live without this substance. And of course, there's a lot of support groups from non-governmental organizations and so on who really help out the community to assist young people and just help them to progress.
You of course mentioned schools in being one of the things that can be used to rehabilitate learners or to teach them. But what roles can teachers, parents, and the community at large play in discouraging youth smoking? And when I say the communities, because most of this smoking happens in public and not at home, actually.
Yeah, definitely. I think I gave an example of a young child seeing their brother or sister or aunt or uncle engage in these type of risky behaviors. And that, of course, causes them to think that it's normal. So I definitely think that the most important thing is for parents, community leaders, and teachers to model healthy behaviors, to be able to basically be good role models for children. So most children just do what they see.
Yes.
So if these things are not done in the presence of children, it definitely helps them to not even think about them. Secondly, just to educate children about the risks, and to monitor children's behavior. Because in as much as now we're trying to be a very non-controlling society, it's important that we still monitor the behavior of our children, monitor the behavior of our students, because we can't just let them go and make any choices for themselves. Because at the end of the day, they are still growing, their brains are still developing, and there's this concept called the frontal lobe development that is not fully developed as an adolescent. And of course, the last thing that I want to emphasize on is having open conversations,
mm-hmm.
and ensuring that there is trust in a home setting or in a community setting. Because if those elements are removed, then children won't be comfortable to admit that they made a new friend who has some form of peer pressure or influence on them. So it's important that parents just try to have open conversations with their children and ask, who are your friends? Where do you go hang out? What do you guys do? Instead of just letting them be with anyone and everyone, which of course is very difficult. And I know I'm speaking from a perspective of not being a parent and never being in those shoes, but I am an older sister. I am an older cousin and I am a friend to younger girls and boys. And we should try in whatever basically position we find ourselves to model good and healthy behavior to our children.
So, Ovia, this week, there's a public service Alcohol Awareness Week. I'm not sure if, you know, you have come across that or if or you are also part of it. But this I'm just incorporating there because there's a lot of alcohol abuse amongst our people. And there's this joke that I usually make to say, these young people are a hardworking generation of alcoholics because they work so hard to earn that money so that they can afford that drinking lifestyle. So just tell us, so in honor of this public service awareness, alcohol awareness week, just give us a brief explanation. What is alcohol abuse?
So generally alcohol abuse is divided into three different disorders as how we see it in from the medical point of view. So you can have alcohol use disorder, alcohol withdrawal, and alcohol intoxication. So these are the things that we see. So alcohol use disorder is generally somebody who can't basically in a nutshell live without alcohol. This means that the person has an actual serious problem that they can't go without consuming large amounts of alcohol. Often not even in their own intention, you know. Sometimes you intend to just take a glass, but then later on you are three bottles in or four bottles in.
Yes.
And they have a consistent, persistent desire or unsuccessful effort to just cut down or control the alcohol use. So no matter how much they try to stop, they just can't find themselves stopping. And it's very unfortunate, actually, because then it becomes a psychological cycle where they struggle to get themselves from stopping. And I think I also mentioned it before that they spend such a great deal of time using alcohol, looking for alcohol and recovering from its effects that they no longer fulfill their responsibilities. But surprisingly, our young people are managing to balance, which is obviously still not good because we know that there is something being sacrificed in the place of them participating in the consumption of alcohol. And oftentimes these people with alcohol use disorder also, you know, have persistent interpersonal problems, you know, with their partners at work and so on because they fail to fulfill major roles. And they also just fail to do other socially acceptable things and often involve themselves in dangerous activities just in order to consume alcohol. So generally this is what we see when we talk about alcohol use disorder. Another trick with patients who have basically a use problem is that in the morning, the first thing that they want is to have a glass of beer. In medicine, we call it an eye-opener because they can't start their day without having a glass. And they also have the strong cravings. They admit that they have a problem and they normally feel guilty for drinking. So any person who has all these four things, meaning that they crave it a lot, they agree that they have a problem, they feel guilty, and they drink it in the morning, they definitely have a drinking problem. And of course, we have now the intoxication part where they normally present either feeling very anxious, agitated, they are shaking, they are sweating, they are vomiting. They might even see things that are not there or hear things that are not heard by others and so on. So this is when they have consumed really large amounts of alcohol that it completely dysregulates how the body functions. In a nutshell, it's a lot. It's a mouthful, but generally this is what alcohol does and most people have it. Some people can take moderate amounts and just live with it, but unfortunately some people can't.
When you look at things and you look at the society we are in, look at the future that Namibia is trying to, you know, to just put in place with, especially economic wise, socially, and, you know, just meeting certain criterias. Do young people fully understand the financial cost of habits such as the smoking and the alcohol drinking?
Generally, I don't think so, hey, because they just, you know, spend large amounts of money on alcohol consumption. And so we see that young people are often now prioritizing short-term gratification and just approval from their peers over long-term financial freedom. And this is very unfortunate because things like debt are not things you can easily recover from, or, you know, loans and things like that, which is now how most people are trying to build a life for themselves. These are not things that you can easily recover from in the long run. And they underestimate how expensive the habit becomes over time, because a habit is something that you constantly want to do, or basically are programmed to continuously doing. And you having to plow funding into this habit every time, it really becomes expensive over time. And as I mentioned before, you will neglect your other responsibilities, be it your children, your family, just, you know, building yourself as an individual. So definitely the financial cost is something that we don't think about, because of we just want that instant gratification that goes away after some time, and that constantly becomes a habit that you have to fulfill.
I think that is the one thing that is, you know, why I call people functional alcoholics, because I'm like, they work really hard just to be able to afford this. Lastly, should there be stricter regulations on the marketing and sale of a vaping product and smoking product, especially to minors?
Yeah, no, definitely they should. It's unfortunate that this isn't a thing already in our society, because really, how can you sell something to somebody who's 14 that has the ability to basically dysregulate them and throw their whole future off? So the fact that minors can easily access vapes is very unfortunate. And this is because these things are not regulated properly. I mean, our tax shops and our bars and so on, they allow minors to just buy these things. There is no strict reinforcement as to how things are managed and how things are sold. There should actually be an age verification to just ensure that someone is a specific age before buying a certain product, which in Namibia is 18 years and above. At least that shows that there's some form of regulation. And of course, the advertising should also be more stricter. We should be more vocal on social media, more vocal on any other platform, like, for example, Eagle FM, so that people can hear the effects that are so detrimental, especially to our young people, and ensure that they understand how crucial it is for them to stay away and to try and basically plow more deeper into their education and into what they want to become as individuals.
Yes, you're definitely right. Especially to just make sure that they're on the right path, because when you start with some of those things at such an early age in your life, it becomes very difficult to just drop the act. Eventually, everything just starts to go a while. And like you said, you always need a dose to fill up for the previous one. So you always need to get something something stronger, and that also just contributes to the high crime rate that Namibia is actually experiencing.
Definitely, no, it's unfortunate.
So, Doctor, is there anything else that you would love to leave us with before we bid you goodbye?
No, thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you for the initiative. I believe that such conversations are very important to just sensitize our community. Whoever is listening, I mean, they can take something from it, and that's how information is passed on, and that's how knowledge is passed on, because at the end of the day, one person can learn something and teach another. So I really do honor the channel, and I honor you for having this this session with me and allowing me to share my expertise with young people, older people, anyone listening currently. And in final saying, I really just want to encourage anyone out there who has any form of addiction or dependency on any substance, But there is a community that loves you and cares for you and wants to see you free, wants to see you excel in life. And if you do need any help, don't hesitate to reach out to any healthcare worker, any person in authority, or any person in general who can guide you to get help. Because there are people willing to help you, and you don't have to live in shame or in regret or in dependency your entire life while you can be doing something meaningful for yourself. So, yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, and I'm wishing you all the best in your Miss Namibia finalist endeavor. And, you know, we hope you can come back here another time and we just go through another conversation again. This was so insightful, and do have yourself a lovely Saturday.
Thank you. Same to you.
Sure.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access?
You just got added to the GoTV Best Football Friends chat group. Let's go!
Final.
It's finals time, and all the biggest players are in it to win it. Catch every Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, Champions League, FA Cup, Europa League, Conference League. To cut the long voice note short, you know who'll be there for you when you need to watch the finals. Stay connected to catch all the biggest football finals with your best football friend, GoTV. Love it. Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Look at this face. I know the years are showing. Look at this life. I still don't know where it's going. I don't know much, but I know I love you. And that may be all I need to know.
Look at these eyes, they've never seen what matters. Look at these dreams, so big and so better.
I don't know much, but I know I love you. That may be all I need to know. So many questions still left unanswered. So much I've never broken through.
And when I feel you near me, sometimes I see so clearly the only truth I've ever known. Me and you.
look at this man, so blessed with inspiration. Look at this soul, still searching for salvation.
I don't know much, but I know I love you. And that may be all I need to know.
Everybody sees you're blown apart. everybody feels the wind blow. Ooh, in Graceland, Graceland, I'm going to Graceland. For reasons I cannot explain, there's some part of me wants to see Graceland. And I may be obliged to defend every love, every ending, or maybe there's no obligations now. Maybe I have a reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parota's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit parotas.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide. Always prepared.
Now, welcome back. Those are just some of the things that we have learned there from Dr. Toileka. And, you know, we continue to thank her for taking time out of her schedule to just, come here and, enlighten us today and educate you guys as well as me. So, we have now looked at some of those things, and you have seen and you have heard about the signs and everything involved when it comes to drug abuse, when it comes to alcohol abuse. And we just had to touch on that one in honor of the, you know, Alcohol Awareness Week in the workplaces and how that affects people's lives. And I would just like to emphasize the fact that, you know, alcohol abuse, drugs abuse, all these things impact you. Like I've mentioned before our guest came in, they distract you. They take away from your productivity. As a Namibia, you need to be a strong workforce. You need to be a resilient workforce. You need to be a workforce that is able to deliver results. And if you are indulging yourself in most of these things, that take away from your productivity, that take away from your health, then as a Namibia, the economic, of our country, you know, it's difficult to uphold it. It's difficult to sustain it. It's difficult to uplift it, because you're the people that are supposed to be doing the hard labor work. You're the people that are supposed to be working hard to make sure that, the Namibian vision is achieved. You are not able to work fun. You are either always high. You are not doing well. You are not physically fit to do certain jobs, and you are getting fired from work because you're constantly high. You're constantly drunk. you're not doing the work that you're supposed to be doing. And some of you are so good at your jobs, you know, you are so excellent at particular things that when you don't do that, when you are not in a position to do it, it takes away from the productivity of a company. It takes away from the productivity of your community. Because imagine if you are the best electrician in your community and suddenly you cannot be hired because of what you are doing. You cannot be hired because you don't complete your job. But you are not finishing the job on time. You know, it just takes away from your community. Now people have to get someone from outside to come do this particular work. Now the money is being shipped out of your community because you as a community member is unable to, and someone else is coming to take that bread out of your mouth. Now your family cannot be sustained by that bread. Now your community will not benefit anything at all from that school tender that you are supposed to get, because should you have gotten that tender, at least you are going to use that money to buy from the kuka shops in the community. You are going to help your parents at home. You are going to do something in the community, and the money rotates and it's evolving in the community. Instead of someone comes from, you know, from Oshana region and they are coming to do your work for you in Karas region, and once they are done, they pick up with their money and they go back to Oshana region and they are now going to use the money that side. So they are just enriching their own town. They are just enriching their own communities. So those are just some of the things that you should really, really think about when you smoke, when you become an addict to something, and how to make it easy for you to leave. I know some of you are already addicted. Some of you do not know where to stop or where to start. But like Dr. said, there are ways on how to stop. There are methods that can be used. And it's going to be a difficult withdrawal period, but you can always reach out to, you know, to the health sector. You can always reach out to health professionals and they can give you the help that you need. They can refer you to the people that need to help you. Sometimes it could be that you just know a nurse in your neighborhood and she's not really specializing in those particular things, but you can always just go ahead and reach out to them, and perhaps they will be able to refer you to the correct person. Because we're trying to have a community that is productive, in Namibia that is free of drugs, in Namibia that is free of illicit substances, in Namibia that is free of regret. With most of these drugs, with most of these things, there is always that component of regret. Some of you do things unknowingly when you're under the influence of drugs. You make decisions, rushed decisions, decisions you would not have made when you are yourself. And that alone is already a problem, because when you have sobered up, when the effects wear off, you regret. You know, you regret and you are bound to live with some of these decisions for the rest of your life. It could be that when you are under the influence of drugs, you are indulging in unhealthy sexual relations. You are just randomly having sex with everyone that comes, and you don't know their health statuses. You don't know where they stand. You don't know the consequences. You know, later, 3 months later, you are sick and then vulnerable. What can here? But what's going on is that you have not taken care of yourself. What's going on is that you put yourself in a position where you made it very difficult for yourself to come out safe. So some of these things need to be avoided. And to avoid it, you need to start by quitting. You need to start by minimizing the amount of smoking you're doing. You need to start by limiting the amount of smoking you're doing. You need to start by reprimanding, you know, your peers who are way younger than you to say, you guys cannot be smoking weed. You guys cannot be smoking hubbly. You cannot be vaping left, right, center. Even on your way to school, you are vaping. Now they are even selling each other vape in schools, on school premises. And that just encourages theft at home also, because where are you expecting a grade 8 learner to have money for vape? They need to make a plan most, and that plan usually revolves around them taking from their parents, which is not cool. It breaks up communities. So let's just look at some of those things that Namibians can look at to minimize youth smoking in Namibia. And, an approach is needed that caters or that will be convenient for everyone. So first of all, it has to be awareness campaigns. I believe there is a need for education around this conversation. There is a need for education beyond this, where professionals come in and they explain the consequences, they explain the effects, they explain the cycle from beginning to end, so that more people can understand. You see, like it was explained to me just a while ago by a doctor. I didn't understand the concept of someone smoking because they are stressed to calm themselves down, and also later you are anxious after smoking. You see, but then it has been broken down to me in a way that I now understand and say, oh, so this is where the withdrawal is. This is where the drugs are taking effect, and this is what the effect of the withdrawal is like. You know, every day you need to learn. So increase education in schools and communities on the dangers of this particular forms of smoking. And by doing this, you know, you are encouraging a safer environment for the people in those communities. And also just to look at the policies, to enforce policies and strengthen and enforce laws that restrict the sale of tobacco and vaping products to minors, as well as nicotine products. Oh, excuse me. As well as nicotine products. In fact, to just restrict how certain products are sold, where they are sold. Because nowadays, everyone has access to these products. Anyone can go in a shop and ask for these products, and they would get it over the counter. No questions asked, no many stories. You ask for vape, you get it. You ask for Hubbly, you get it, irrespective of your age. And this is something that should be done away with. So just a policy enforcement to make sure to regulate also the consumers. The same way there's a restriction on alcohol, but it's still not very strict, since many of you guys are my 2000s jealous most bright packer. You look older than us. You look older than us, the aunties and the uncles. So even with some of those restrictions, it does not really work. But we need stronger restrictions. We need stronger policy enforcement methods that will make sure that these products are not as easily accessible as they are right now. I'm not sure if there should be a price increase to make them more expensive, so that maybe when they are more expensive, they are less inaccessible. Or I'm not sure what exact method is going to be used, but thereby policy enforcement, something needs to be done to just restrict and to minimize the intake of these particular drugs and these particular substances from young people and minors. We would also need community engagement, which would just be to involve schools, to involve parents and religious institutions, and, you know, youth organizations that are mostly doing community work. You know, you just involve these people so that they can also help tackle the issue at hand, so that they can also help to talk to the people at home. You know, you talk to your children at home, you talk to your learners at school, you talk to your friends in community groups. You know, after church, when you stay in your choirs, you have those conversations to caution each other, and also just to learn, you know, to have conversations around what these things could look like. Because nowadays drugs are coming as anything. Some are coming as sweets, some are coming as something to sniff, some is gum, some is what. So the methods are so many in which drugs are being shared now. So it's vital for community engagement. So it's vital for people to be engaged. It's vital for people to be knowledgeable. When you are knowledgeable, you are aware of what you are talking about, and you can easily spot the signs. You can easily tell when your child is starting to indulge in certain activities. That way you are able to counter it. You are able to sit them down at the early stages of their smoking habits. You are able to sit them down when you see the patterns, and you are able to talk them out of it, or to refer them to some way where they can acquire the help that they actually need. Some people smoke because of depression. Some people smoke because they are stressed. Some people smoke because, you know, they want to fit in. So like Dr. Twilika said, try by all means, try to find ways to look at why the person is doing what they're doing. And then you find alternatives on how you can actually help them, on how you can actually better what they are going through. I believe if everyone is engaged in that way, it becomes so much easier. It becomes so much easier for the community to combat the problem at home. The problem in the community, it becomes easier to, you know, to be able to look out for one another. I know it's not happening any day nowadays, but back then, the whole community was raising one child. And if that can come back, whereby you look out for your neighbor's children, every child in the neighborhood is your child, then I just believe that the risks and the smoking habits will be minimized to a certain extent. Another alternative would be to look at healthy alternatives, which is to promote youth engagement in sports, arts, and other productive activities to reduce the idle time and the peer pressure. And, you know, doctor also spoke about that to say, when you ask someone to quit smoking, when you ask someone to quit drinking alcohol, you need to have an alternative, something they can replace it with. And now I understand why Tinder for the Legs exist. Now I understand why things such as Tinder for the Legs exist, because you are trying not to feel the pain in your heart, so you go running instead. But that is just my opinion, my personal opinion. Is that, yeah, Tinder for the Legs exist because of some of those things. You know, to say you cannot smoke, divert from smoking and find a hobby like running, find a hobby like getting involved in sports, arts, and just something productive, go cycling, you know, do something do something that distracts you from these unhealthy habits. Access to support groups. And it's very important to provide accessible support groups and counseling services for young people who are trying to quit or who are in the process of starting. Because my belief is that you don't just start smoking out of the blue. So if you have the right support by your side, you can overcome smoking. If you have the right friends by your side, you are not even going to start smoking, because you're going to start smoking to fit into way. Like, guy, I'm either a horrible person or I don't know, but there are just certain things you cannot do around me, because I'll be like, not happening. Not happening at all. Not happening. You cannot do certain things around me, and you cannot partake in certain activities when you are my friend, because there is this notion that birds of the same feather flock together. And egg will most no need. Hey, mensa would be may come and come then egg rock working, because now you are smoking. You are smoking illicit drugs. You are sniffing things that you should not be sniffing. Now I'm also going to be associated to you. So the company you keep is very, very important. The people that you're surrounding yourself with, hospitals should, not hospitals per se, but the health sector should share information the same way you can call a child lifeline for problems such as GBV or child abuse or all those things. Let there also be a toll-free number to call when you need support in this aspect, when you need support in just getting out of these horrible habits, or when you just need someone to talk to when you are tempted to start. Because before you become a druggie, before you become a shisha addict, before you become a vape addict, the thought comes to you. The idea of going to buy vape first comes to you. So when that idea of buying vape comes to you, that is now when you should know, this is my cue to leave the table. Let me seek for help somewhere. And also just effective collaboration between the government and civil society and the media is essential in creating a smoke-free generation. And, just to safeguard the health of Namibian youth and the future thereof. And that is why we at Eagle FM are doing our part. You know, as the media, we are bringing this to your attention. We are bringing this conversation to you. We are having conversations that you guys are not having at your homes. And we come here and we tell you that your children starting to do drugs, your children doing all these things in the name of fun or whichever reason it is that they would like to use as an excuse. It's not worth it. In the long run, it does not benefit you. In the long run, it does not benefit your families. In the long run, it does not benefit their families. In the long run, it does not benefit, their futures, because, it hinders with them in so many aspects, mentally, physically, emotionally, academically. Now you are underperforming because you just want to be at every session where the Habli is most. And yeah, those were just some of the things I wanted to say, sum up this conversation and to make sure that you guys have learned something today. And I'm actually hoping you learned something. I'm actually hoping you picked up something, and that when you go back into your community, you will be able to see something and you will be able to become the change that you ought to be in your community. Change starts with you. And I have started it here, and now it's for you guys to carry on in your communities, because obviously it's not everyone that is listening to this conversation right now. So you carry on, you take it from there, you look at the behavior of your children at home and see how it is different from how it was 2 years ago. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you farewell here on Social Time with Hileni. I will see you again next week, Saturday, same time, same place, same radio frequency. Do enjoy your Saturday. Also, do not do things that I wouldn't do. And you guys know I wouldn't do anything, you know, negative, anything that takes away from being a good citizen and being a productive citizen. So that is goodbye from me. I will leave you with, I will leave you in the capable hands of my colleague, Mike Oshovele, who will be coming on here with Mind Matters. Do stay tuned. Do not go anywhere, and continue listening to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station in Namibia. Goodbye.